Man, God's good. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
I hope you love worshiping him. And worshiping him is not the song you sing. It's getting into an intimate moment where our focus becomes nothing else but him. Today, we're going to look at the story. I kind of gave you a preview of it. I've got really every verse in this chapter down, but I'm going to jump. So just bear with me there. We came out of an encounter that led right into where we are. There's a story in the Bible that I don't know that if you paid much attention to, but in this, and I'll be honest with you, God gave me six sermons from this chapter, six. I wrote all six down. I'm not going to hit all six today. Don't get scared, but even if we did, you should be excited, right? But in here, we see that sermon on God will use your circumstance, and maybe that's the one you needed. That in the very first three verses of this chapter, Jesus is saying it's going to be used for the glory of God. I don't know if you got notes and you're taking them. Maybe you've got a heart that's hurt or heavy. You need to write out, get home, write out, this is the heaviness of my heart. And beside that write, it's going to be used for the glory of God. I remember standing here in July 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, be 3 years this next year, and having one of the hardest things that we've ever had to do, and that's just to tell the truth. And it's something I was standing with two pastors yesterday at Mobile Life House, which thank you for everybody who took part of that. We're so thankful for y'all. We've got to give groceries to 150 families, and it's still going today. Like, it's still going out, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But as I was standing with two pastors, I really get time with pastors outside of here, our pastors and our elders, which are amazing people, and a deacon board that's getting formed full of amazing people as well. But as we were standing there, we were talking about how Satan only likes to tell the truth when the truth is about you. Isn't that true? He'll expose you. And he can't wait. And now we've said this before. I'm going to say it again. You can beat him to the truth. All right. Now, I'll be honest with you right now. If there's a skeleton in your closet, I don't care if it's 40 years old, tell the truth. Because once you do that, the enemy has no power over you. All right. And I remember standing here and having that moment to where we are terrified to stand here and tell the truth about the weaknesses of my life with my wife standing beside me. And I'm not going to go into those. I don't want to rehash those. But I do remember we took a notebook up and somebody said, well, they took notes of what to tell us. And literally what they didn't know is on those notebooks, all that was written was two verses of scripture on one page. And on the other page, in big letters, as big as we could write it, it simply said, Satan cannot have this story. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There's something in your life that if you're not careful, Satan's going to try to get the glory from it. All right? You know what the glory to Satan sounds like? It sounds like, I can't do this. Life is terrible. I don't want to live anymore. Or how could this happen to me? Or you must be a sinner. I can't believe I made that mistake. I mean, any type of worry, any type of constant overthinking, Satan's getting the worship of your life. Okay? All right? Now, I don't mean this to sound harsh, but worry is a form of Satan worship. You say, I don't worship him. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I have to make myself not let him become an idol in my life. Because sometimes life is too big for me. Anybody say me too in the place today? Sometimes decisions are too hard for me. Anybody say, yeah, me? All right, hey, I am not perfect. And it's good for you to realize you're not perfect either. Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, said, I am the worst of sinners. He also said, I'm capable of anything. But the truth is while you're capable of mistake, God is capable of changing mistakes into good things. I mean, how many of you have seen growth in your life come from a hurt? Anybody say, yeah. How many of you have seen growth in your life come from a mistake? It only becomes a failure, by the way, when you choose to let that become the anthem of the rest of your life. When you quit right there. Hey, God does not give up on you. Matter of fact, every character in the Bible that God uses outside of Jesus comes with a very big past story. Have you noticed that? I mean, Abraham took his own plan, right? Instead of God's plan and went and had an affair and had a baby that became the enemy of Israel to this day. Right, but did God still use Abraham? Yes. I mean, Noah made mistakes. He got drunk when he got off the boat. Lot made mistakes. I mean, how many of you would agree? Lot chose what looked good over what was good. And because it looked good, it took everything from him. Right? But you know what God said about Lot? He was a righteous man. That's a New Testament version of Lot. I'm going to tell you this right now. There may be an Old Testament version of you where there's a lot of mess up, but there can be a New Testament version of you where Jesus stepped in and changed everything. Isn't that good? Shouldn't there be two stories of your life? The story of you and the story of Jesus in you. All right, we say this in our grief class, Monday nights at 6, and I'll tell you this, if you're going through something, hang up or have, you need to be there, right? We tell them this, is a chapter of your life, don't let it become the ending. Close the chapter, turn the page, let God write a new story. How many of you like to read? I would love to see the ratio of men to women here, all right? How many of you like to read? There's a guy in the back, okay? There's a guy there, all right, outside. Okay, there's a few. All right, I'm not a big reader, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I like the books with short chapters. Anybody else like that? If a chapter of a book is like 80 pages long, I'm out. I like a change of thought. You know what's even better? It's going to make me sound childish. I love picture books. All right, now grown-up version of a picture book is called a comic book, right? All right, I like them simplified. We have this little devotional for our kids that has like a little 1-2-page story of the major stories in the Bible. You flip it, it's the next story, and it's like, this is right down my alley. You said, are you that simple? Hey, listen, God uses simple things to complex the world, right? So understand this, and I like it when I can get a thought. You know what I don't like is when a book is this thick and every chapter could have been its own book. Right? I'm going to tell you this. Too many people have started their lives and they're still in chapter 1 40 years later. Let God shut this down for you and let God write a new story. Remember this. It's not a testimony unless it has a start. It has something that took place and then it has an ending. The ending is Jesus. The beginning was Jesus anyway. So let him have the story. Are you with me? So in this, we see that in our lives and in our societies that we're going through, that people get hung up and they don't let things happen. They don't let things change. God will use this. Whatever you're going through, God will use this. Whatever you did, God can use it. Whatever you didn't do, God can restore it. Whatever mess you're in, God can make a message come out of it. All right, just give it to him. All right, let's look at this. I'm going to break it down. In verse number 6, we see something really cool happen. But let's start verse number 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sin nor his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. You know what Jesus is saying here? Here's sermon number 2. Ready? Very quickly. There's going to come a day to where the gospel is no longer present here. All right. Does that make sense? This world's going to end. It's over. It's done. But here's the thing. You got breath in your body. There's still time to carry out the light. He's the light of the world. Shine it in the darkness. Who did you tell about Jesus this week? I'm just going to tell it. We were sitting with a young man whose heart was broken by a girl. Shame on you, girl. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Heart was broken. Experiencing rejection. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that knows what it's like to be rejected? All right. Because he also knows what it's like to be resurrected from rejection. All right. But anyway. And as we were looking, it's like, you know, he made the statement, I need to get in God's word, I need to grow. So then I asked him, are you saved? And the answer is no. Next question, what are you waiting for? Truth is this, you can get in God's word all day long. You can read it all day long, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're wasting your time. I mean, here it is. It starts right in the moment that you accept Christ as your Savior. So let's do that right now. Do you believe? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on a cross? Do you believe that he raised again? Do you believe that he loves you and he canceled your sin debt? Do you believe it? Yes. Then do it. Get it. Well, what do I say? Tell God what you need. Just tell him what you need. There's not a prayer I can lead you into salvation. There's a need of your heart that has brought you to the throne of God. Just tell him he's an approachable father today. What do you need? If I were to ask you, matter of fact, let's do this. On the count of 3, all right, as loudly as you would like, say something you need right now spiritually in your life. You ready? I'm going to give you a second to get it. You got it? Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay. A lot of voices. I couldn't hear anything because there's so many different needs. So I'm glad I'm not God and don't have to listen to all your prayers, right? All right. So the thing is all those needs, God's saying, I want to fulfill those needs. You're lonely. God's got somebody for you. Somebody said, well, ask God to take this desire away. I'm not going to ask God to take a single desire away that he put in your heart. I'm going to ask that you believe in God enough that he'll fulfill the desires of your heart. I'm going to ask that you have patience enough to believe that if Adam can go to sleep and wake up to the woman of his dreams, then you can just live your life pursuing God and wake up to the future that you never thought you could have. I'm going to believe that God can bring them through the back door of your church. I'm going to believe that God can put them in your small group. I'm going to believe that through God, you can find them. I'm not going to pray that he changes what he planted in you. You know, hey, if God planted an astronaut in my little girl, then an astronaut she should be. Am I right? That scares me as a parent. It's easier to say when she's 3, right? Going to space. No. My thoughts are going to be like, don't you dare get on that thing. Right? But God's got better thoughts than I got, right? Better ways than I got. And they're looking at him and they're saying, hey, Jesus is saying we got to get some things done. Let's keep going. Look at this. I'm going to give you message number three. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, spread mud over this blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went, washed, and came back seeing. Think about that. Went, washed, came back what? Seeing. Man, I'll tell you what, we live in a world that's full of blindness right now. Would you agree? Can you look around and you know, the exit polls are showing that the most important thing on people's minds were the killing of babies. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, and I'm thinking, I mean, you can't afford your groceries, you can't afford your gas, everybody's strapped, but you would rather kill a baby. That's the most important. I'm not talking Democrat, Republican. I'm just saying, hey, where's your priorities? Wait a minute. You can't feed your children, but you'd rather kill a baby, and that's the most important thing. That needs to change. Would you say that's blind? I mean, would you say it's blind to believe that God has a plan for everybody else in the world but you? Would you say it's blind that God has grace to cover every sin but yours? Do you think it's blind? Hey, there's been a time in my life that I couldn't see God clearly. Anybody else say me too to that? There's been a time in my life that I was wandering around and didn't know what to do. I love this. Ready? Matthew 4, verse number 4 says everything that comes from the word of God, everything that comes from it says everything that comes from the mouth of God, that's what he uses for salvation. Right? And so understand this. Get this. Get the symbolism. Jesus is giving a salvation moment symbolism right here. You want a message to preach salvation? Here it is. He spit. Anything that comes from the mouth of God, the word, he put it into dirt. What are we made out of? Yeah, God got on his hands and knees and he crafted Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living being. Most of you is dirt. The Bible says, from dust you came and dust you will return. So God takes himself, mixes it with you. He takes it and he puts it on the guy's eyes, right? He applied it. And then he told the guy, go wash. The guy goes and washes and comes back. I broke it down this way. One sentence that can change your life. You ready? I wrote it because I know I won't get it right if I don't read what I wrote. Here it is. When the word, the spit, is brought into our lives, the mud, and applied to our weakness, the place on our eyes that keeps us from seeing Jesus, we get washed by the Holy Spirit, the blood, and we come back truly changed. All right, understand this. God's saying, hey, I'm going to put myself in you. I'm going to take what I have done in you, the word, and you need to apply it to your life. If you'll apply it to your life, you'll be led by the Holy Spirit, the water that washed him at Siloam, then you will be able to see. That's the gospel in two sentences right there. You've got to get it. It's easy. Jesus wants to give you something that'll change your life, but most of us don't allow him to apply any of his word to us. Now, wouldn't you be honest? I'm a germaphobe. Any other germaphobes in the room today? Somebody spitting in mud and sticking it in my eyes deserves a slap in the face. Anybody else? All right? I was like, has he not heard of COVID? I mean, what are you doing? Can you imagine the disciples standing there watching Jesus just like, this guy needs to be healed, and you're making mud pies. You're putting them in his eyes and telling him to go wash. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think we're living in a world where we're trying to overcomplicate the gospel. Here it is, ready? Jesus said it, that's enough. I need it, that's second. I must apply it and let the Holy Spirit run it through me. All right, and I don't know where you're at, what you're seeing in your life today, but maybe you need to ask God to give you vision. Matter of fact, I titled today's message, When God Gives Vision. So here he comes back and he can see. I'm paraphrasing, am I going too fast? You with me? People say I can talk fast. I only drink coffee on Sunday mornings. I get amped. All right, you ready? Look at this. Keep reading with me if you would. In verses 8 through 11, message 4. You might get all of them today. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar, who knew him as a blind what? Beggar. Nowhere in the story does he become a beggar until people show up. When Jesus is there, it's all about the need. The man's blind. When the church shows up, it's all about the habit. He's a beggar. This is good. It's time for the church to start seeing people like Jesus sees them instead of trying to see them the way we see them. Well, they've always been like this. You know, we see them in their annoyances. Anybody else ever had the person in their life that's annoying? All right, if they're here, don't look at them, don't nudge them. This is not the moment to make them known, all right? But you ever had that person that just, they pick at you all the time? My wife, right here at the top of the sternum, the thing she hates the most, and you should never touch her there or I'll knock your head off. But the thing is she hates to be tapped like this. So when I really want to bug her, you know what I do? I tap it. All right, I'm going to expose Chris today. He might get mad at this. You know what Chris hates? The pop of a can of biscuits. Every time I see a Pillsbury commercial, I think of Chris when they pop it. Have y'all seen it? Pop. You want to really mess with him? We should show up one day with 200 cans of biscuits and pop them. It'll have a Holy Spirit movement right out the back door. All right, the thing is listen. Hey, yeah, we've all got things that annoy us, right? And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the church is annoyed by sin instead of being called to it. When we were talking with the pastors yesterday, he said, the problem is the church should be where we bring in broken, but when the broken show up, we get annoyed by it. That's a problem. And look at this, read the rest of the story. It says, those that knew him as the blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? The question is, isn't this the man that was blind? Not, isn't this the man that's used to sit and beg? Isn't this the man that was blind? Isn't this the adulterer? Isn't this the drug addict? Isn't this the person that was drunk last night? Isn't this the person who's been missing for years? Isn't this the person who was plagued by anxiety? Isn't this the person who used to be messed up? Why are they not messed up? That's not the question. They're saying, isn't this the person that used to get on our nerves? And then they said, no, it's not him. Why? They were so addicted to his illness that they couldn't believe in the truth of his deliverance. By the way, I find it this way. Communities love to talk about the broken, but we don't really love to talk about when God brings the broken back together. You know, yesterday when we were standing there, we were taking up the prayer cards at Mobile Life House. And so the last thing you do when you leave, they get a prayer card when they come in, they give it to us because we want to really pray over what they're going through and what's happening. All right. And so as we do this, pause, time out. Medical, anybody medical in here? Nurses, any nurses in the building right now? Any nurses in the building right now? Okay, thank you. If you'll make your way back here. All right. So as we look at this, are you? Come on down, right here. All right. Let's stop. Let's pray. There's a medical emergency. Let's stop. Let's pray. God, right now in this moment, we know you have power. God, we don't know what's going on right here. We don't know what's going on right now, but I believe that in Jesus' name, you can do a work through the people you've given knowledge and wisdom to, and you can do a miracle in the life of those that are in the illness and going through something right now. So we just ask in Jesus' name that you move in a mighty way, that you restore back to the intention in this person's life what you intended for it to be. So we're a group of believers today believing that there is no medical emergency outside your means and your abilities, your eyes, and what you can do. And so whether it be through others or it be in a moment, a miracle in yourself, that you do something in this life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, church, we either got to be a group of believers or we're not. Right? You okay? You okay, sweetie? She will be. That's right. Amen. Ma'am, hey, what's her name? What's your name? Pam. Pam. Hey, listen, we're praying with you. All right. We're praying for you and you're in great hands right there. Hey, God bless you. What, hey, can you tell me what's going on? Her sugar has dropped. Okay. All right. All right. In Jesus' name, restore. Amen. Amen. She's walking. She came back too, so we're gonna celebrate that. Amen. Hey, listen, you are not in a scripted church. You're in a church that matter. She's what? She's checking it right now. Okay, good deal. Good deal. We've got, hey, listen, we've got plenty of stuff. If we need snacks, if we need something, we've got it. And Can we thank God for the medical people we have in our church, the security team, and what they do? All right. I don't want you to be a church that recognizes the weakness of somebody or the annoyance of somebody more than you recognize the need. So will you write a prayer in your life? Write a prayer in your notes? Write a prayer in your Bible. God, help me see the need. Help me see the need. How many addicts actually go through and come out on the other side? It doesn't matter. That number doesn't matter. What matters is we're willing to put them through. We're willing to help them. How many husbands give up pornography when they come to church? How many wives give up pornography when they come to church? It doesn't matter. What matters is somebody could give it up and be delivered right now. Hey, how many times do we get it right the first time? That doesn't matter. Let's stop keeping count. What matters is this guy's been blind since he was born. Jesus didn't care the fact that he was a beggar. He never once told him to stop begging. He never once told him to fix the thing that you've been doing your rest of your life. You know what he told him to do? Go wash your eyes. That's the problem, because if you see, you don't have to beg anymore. Hey, I'm telling you this right now. We're going after the world saying, hey, believe me, trust me, do it my way. We need to be going after a world saying this. If you could just see Jesus, if you could just see him, you would be totally different. And so our prayer needs to be that their blinded eyes can see. I did a whole sermon about 6 years ago on when God opens their eyes. You remember when Abraham came to his mistake and kicked her out with her son and said, y'all go out in the wilderness and die. And the Bible said that they were in a desperate situation. She laid her baby on one side of the field, crawled to the other side because it was time to die. And she was going to let it die. And the Bible said that God opened her eyes. They were thirsting to death. They were hungry and they weren't going to make it. And the Bible said that when God opened her eyes, she saw that they were right by well. You know what I found to be true? Is you can be right by Jesus and miss it because you're blinded by everything else that's going on in your life. You can be right by freedom and miss it. You can die close to solution, to the answers of your life. And when she opened her eyes, she grabbed her baby, and guess what they did? They drank. I'm just telling you right now, my prayer in some of your life is that God opens your eyes and gives you a little bit more faith than worry this week. Gives you a little bit more faith than fear. Gives you a little bit more power. A Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mindset. And maybe you're standing by a fiery furnace and you don't know what that fiery furnace could be anything. It could be cancer. It could be your kidneys. It could be the word divorce that's echoing through the halls of your home. It could be the brokenness and the rebellion of your children that's breaking your heart. We need a generation that looks at the fire that's ahead of us, that seems like it's about to destroy us, that looks at the enemy face to face. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at King Nebuchadnezzar and they said to him, hey, listen, hey, you may throw us in there, but I promise you this, our God who is able to deliver us can, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow to the idol that you created for us to worship. And in your life, hey, I don't know about you, but in my life, sometimes my trials become the idol of my focus. Come on now, anybody say me too to that? Sometimes that tower's standing there and I'm like, I can't make it. I can't do this. Sometimes it's like, hey, autism's never going away. And if we're not careful, we'll bow and we'll break and we'll give up on our faith because something is bigger standing in front of us. But some of us need to look at Satan today and say, hey, you may be throwing cancer. You may be throwing this at me. I may have lost my job. I may not know what to do. But whether God delivers me or not, you're not going to change up my mind. I will serve. I will believe. I will not bow. I will not give up. I will not fall down. Why? Because I believe. Even who? The one that can take me through the fire. Hey, he can take me in the fire too. Man, hey, it's like this. If it kills you, you're going to heaven. You say, well, I don't know. Get saved. Open your heart. Let Jesus in. The worst the enemy could do is create death through sin. But even death became a stepping stone that gives you closer to perfection if you're in Christ. That's good stuff. God's good. Someone said to the others, no, he just looks like him, verse 9. But the beggar kept saying, I'm the one. By the way, write this down. Don't steal the testimony of what God's done in somebody's life because you've been hurt by what they did. And they keep saying, is that the guy? Is that the beggar? And look at this verse. He's sitting there saying, I'm the one. It's me. Nah, it just looks like him. Please write this. God can change anybody. That's your enemies too. That's your enemies too. Right under that, God can use anybody. That's your enemies too. We say, God, bring justice. And I say this all the time. You know what God's version of justice is? You know what God says? Let me repay, not you. Let me vengeance. Hey, because God's war is... Come here, Trey. God's war is not against him. Now, Trey has a story. He can tell a story one day and testimony if God ever leads him to do it. Trey's been through a lot and overcame a lot, and he's a really good musician. I mean, Trey's amazing. We stress him out every Sunday. Am I right? He told us today, I've played with rock bands. You get it there and you know, you guys just keep going in different directions. We, no doubt, have you hurt people? Sure. Yeah. Have you been hurt by people?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When we get hurt by people, we're like, God's going to get them. That's what we take that verse as. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And we just kind of sit back, we pull up the popcorn, and we're like, okay, God, bring the fire. Am I right? Come on now, all you religious people. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're like, bring it down like Jonah sitting looking at Nineveh. What a jerk, right? You need to get saved or God's going to get you. That's his message. The whole town repents. And he goes and he sits down and he's like, get them. Like, take them out. And God comes in vengeance. Did he come in vengeance towards Nineveh? Yes. Did he come to justify? Yes. Did he come in judgment? Yes. But it wasn't the Ninevites that God wanted to destroy. It was what the enemy was doing. That's not the enemy. The enemy, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Anybody know what we're wrestling against today? Say it. Powers of darkness. Let's call it what it is. Demons. The devil and his fallen. Your addict son is not the problem. It's the demon that's in his life. Hey, the Republican and the Democrat's not the problem. It's the demonic forces trying to destroy your nation. I'll be honest with you. Stop asking God to save a nation when you're not even bringing God in your home. The truth is, it's not a nation that takes the nation down. It's the home. It's the heart of the believers. And we're too quiet. We're sitting back and we're saying, Washington, save us. And we got a God that wants to save us. And he's not going after Nancy Pelosi today. He's going after Satan today. And when God gets vengeance, someone gets set free. God is not after your enemy to destroy them. He's after this person to rescue them today. And the best thing that can eliminate an enemy in your life is for God to get a hold of their heart and change them. And that's good. That's the stuff we should be looking for. Isn't this the beggar? No, this is not the beggar. This is the blind man that now can see. No, he just looks like him. No. That's a man of God standing right there. And people from the past may say, well, I know who he is. You know who he used to be. Well, I know what he did. You know what he did. Great. So does God. And you ain't more powerful than him. What good is your knowledge? If you only knew what they did, God already knows what he did, and God rescued him. God didn't destroy him today. So back up. You cannot be more powerful than God to him today. God wants to deliver. Are you ready? Are you? Good job. Thank you, man. All right. Are you okay with this? This little mini series in this? I'm having a good time. I'm having a great time. All right, here it is. Verse number 13, the church gets involved. All the way down through verse number 33. The Pharisees start asking questions. Matter of fact, the people that can't believe it they take the sinner to church. You know why they take the sinner to the church? They want the church to tell the sinner how bad of a sinner he is. They get to the church, and the church is like, were you really blind? That's just made up. I've heard that. I've heard people say that. Oh, it's just made up. He's really close to his mom and dad. My mom and dad haven't even met my little son, 9 months old. I haven't even met him. Never looked face at him. Oh, can I tell you this right now? Some people don't allow the power of God to move in their lives. They can't stand when the power of God will move through yours. And some people will really try to stand against. And so I wrote this down. This is what they did. You ready? Write down. Put they did. Ready? Number one, they questioned him. Verse number 15. They took the man, verse 13, because he was blind, because Jesus had made mud on the Sabbath. Can you imagine this? How messed up is this world? He made mud on the Sabbath. He worked. The Pharisees asked the man about it. So he told them, he put mud on my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Second thing they did is they tried to get him to doubt. They tried to get him to doubt the one that did the work in his life. Look at this, verse number 16. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how can he be an ordinary sinner and do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Wait, by the way, can we write this in our notes? You want to really see people. How many of you want to see communities' lives radically change? How many of you want to see people's lives change? All right, put a hand in the air. With that hand in the air, say amen. I want to see people's lives change. All right, I really, really do. Okay, so keep your opinion out of it. Right? Stop looking at people and saying this is what God can and can't do, and this is what they deserve and don't deserve, and qualified, disqualified. Keep your opinion out of it. Get out of it. Because opinions make divisions. And a house divided cannot stand. We have a rule in our elders. You want to hear it? That if we're ever praying over somebody for position and somebody else in the group says, hey, we need to hold or we need to pray or we don't ask questions. We don't say why. We just talked about this Wednesday, didn't we? We don't say why. Because we're trusting that God's doing a work. And we're also trusting that they're aware of the work that God's doing. And we don't have to be aware of it. We just need to start praying that God continues and finishes the work. Are you with us? The thing is this, the church is too involved in wanting to know why you are the way you are. You know, like who is who? Who has the most money? Who does the most right thing? Well, that's a good person. I can't tell you how many times in confidentiality I've had to keep my mouth shut when people are praising people and I want to be like, do you really know who that person is? Not true. By the way, can I say this right now? Just because it looks good doesn't make it good. And just because it looks bad doesn't mean it can't be good. I mean, John the Baptist was weird. Have y'all ever read about the dude? He ate locusts dipped in honey. I mean, I can get on board with the honey part. But locusts? Let me give it to you in a good version. Go grab a cockroach, dip it in honey, and make that your common diet. No, that's messed up, isn't it? Or, okay, a better one would be a grasshopper. Anybody in here say, I'm not really into eating bugs? Yeah, God said this was going to be the messenger that ushered in the Messiah. Just because they're poor, they're broke, they're fat, they're skinny, just because they're white, they're black, they're Mexican or a different nationality, doesn't mean they can't be the one that God is rushing himself through. Okay, so I'm going to say this. Just because they've got tracks in their arms, scars from all the times they've shot up, or cuts from all the time in affliction, those demons showed up and told them to harm themselves. By the way, if you're cutting yourself today, that's the same thing they did on the mountain when they were trying to pray down their God to eat the offering. When Elijah was sitting there telling them to pray louder, they couldn't get it. They couldn't understand it. And so they were so conflicted inside, they started harming themselves. If you are self-harming today, start rebuking the demons in the room. Start invoking Jesus' name into your life. All right, let's speak to it. And so they start saying this and they start asking questions. They said, doubt him. He's not that. Number three, the next thing they did is they asked for his opinion. Look at verse number 17. This is the greatest question you'll answer in your life outside of what will you do with Jesus? God's going to offer you his son. What will you do with that gift? That's the number one thing. You got to decide that. That's the greatest answer you'll ever give. Are you going to accept him or are you going to reject him? There's only two options. Then they looked at him, Pharisees questioned the man again and demanded, what's your opinion about the man who healed you? They asked for his opinion. I want to give you something very real. The man replied, I think he must be a, this guy just got healed. And he still doesn't believe he's the Messiah. Can I give you this? God can radically move in your life and you still not recognize it's him. God can radically change your life and you still not know him. You know, and by the way, I'll say this. Get the church's opinion out of it, but keep yours out of it too. My opinion will not change your life. What I think you should wear, that ain't gonna radically change your life. What I think you should eat, what I think you should do, that ain't gonna, you know what'll change your mouth? Everything that came out of the mouth of God. The spit into the dust of your life. Hey, everything that he does, that's what directly, we cannot change people's lives. Put that down in your notes. I cannot fix this. I cannot fix them. But who is the one that can? You got to get this right. He ain't a prophet. Time magazine tells him that he's just another good man that lived. No, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Son of God. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of it. Bow your knee now because you will bow it later. The truth is that that's who he is. Get it right. Get it right. Let him know. But your opinions will mess it up. How many of you have prayed for something to happen in your life, then God miraculously does it, and the next day you're thinking about how lucky you were? I was standing at a closing this week. What I forgot is I scheduled two back-to-back. And the person I was closing second, the person that I was closing first, had a contract on their property and backed out, broke the person's heart. And as a dummy, I scheduled them at the same time in the same place. Yeah, I didn't think about it. But it was really cool. They came out and they're like, hey. And I'm like, oh, man, I have messed up. And they walked over and they're like, hey, what's going on? And then I'm like, please don't have a fight. Please don't have a fight. The truth is they had backed out and really hurt this guy. But this guy got a better offer than they were given anyway. The cool thing is I spent a lot of work getting him into that offer. That guy ended up taking his stuff off the market, called and said, what's going on? I said, this is all the problems with your property, and this is why they're backing out. And there were legitimate issues. And he said, well, will you list it? And I was like, not if you're not going to be honest. Like, we're going to tell the next person what's wrong with it. We're going to let them decide with what's wrong with it. He said, okay, let's do it. And I'll be honest with you. It got a deal that he couldn't get before. And he didn't know the problems, but then he knew the problems, let him out. But somebody that bought it, this contractor showed up and said, that's not a problem. I know how to fix that. I know how to do it. This believer that had come through for a conference with David Jeremiah had stopped to look at that property and said, what you see is a problem. I literally walking on the property, sunk my boots up to here, got stuck. I was like in quicksand. A woman had to pull me out. I really don't carry a man card, all right? I get it. You know, I just... And she went walking right through the ditch. I went walking. I sank up to my knees, and I'm like, hey, help me. You know, like, I cannot get out. She had to pull me out. I was like, but do you see? There's a water issue. Oh, I can fix that. This is what it needs. Blah, 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 blah. As long as you get it. They walked over, and you know what they said? They're like, hey, we're so glad it worked out for you. And he's like, oh, I'm so glad you found your property. Blah, 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 blah. We got out in the parking lot, and they said, how lucky are we? I was like, when are you going to get through your head that every good and perfect gift comes from above? That's what James tells us. You've never had a day of luck in your life. People that say, I have no luck, they're being honest. You don't have luck. You have Jesus. You have a God that provides your needs. You say, well, I never win anything. Maybe if you won it, you would lose something else. And God's like, I'm not going to let you win your lottery because it'll ruin you. I'm not going to let you win at these areas of life because it'll bring you down. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep being God. You are not lucky today. Say it. I'm not lucky. Hey, but how many of you are blessed in this place this morning? And how many of you have seen the hand of God move in your life this morning? I'm not lucky, but I have Jesus. I'm not lucky, but I have a Father, a rock that I can stand on. And they said, what's your opinion? Hey, it doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus. He's still Jesus, whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter what you believe about the Word of God. It's still the Word of God. The truth is this. Stop trying to form an opinion. And this is what this man did. He just believed. Fourth thing they did. Are y'all still with me? They doubted his story. So they made up a theory that he was never blind. In verse 22, they called his parents in. And they asked his parents, they said, is this really your kid? The parents were like, yeah, that's our kid. And then they asked him, was he really blind from birth? Yeah, he's been blind from birth. What happened? You know what his parents say? And I'm paraphrasing. They said, hey, he's old enough. You ask him for yourself. You know why they said that? His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. Some things are worth getting kicked out of church for. I'm just going to tell you this right now. Some things are worth losing your life for. I do believe that in some day, maybe in our lifetime or in our children's lifetime or in their children's lifetime, we will be able to plug that in and say, hey, people are afraid because American leaders have said that anyone pronouncing Jesus as Lord would be losing their life. That's coming. You say he's lost his mind. If I've lost my mind, it's because you haven't read the end of the book. All right, it's coming. And by the way, it's not just in Revelation. It's prophesied in Ezekiel. It's in Thessalonians. It's in Hebrews. It's all throughout the Bible. You will be persecuted for your faith. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But one thing I don't want to do is stand in front of my kids a coward. I want to stand in front of my family. I don't want to hug my kids because I denounced Jesus. I'd rather wait on my kids at the throne of God than to stand in front of them a fraud here on earth. And at some point of our lives, we've got to say, hey, even if nobody else is going to accept it, even if it costs me something, I'm going to make him known. There's some things worth not going with the crowd on. And I'm telling you now, we're not going to be a church that goes with religion. We're not going to be a church that builds on tradition. We're going to be a church that builds on the word of God. And that's where we're going to stand. And that's what we're going to believe. And we're going to declare war on the enemy's lies that he's trying to feed your children. The lies that he's trying to break your home apart with. And we'll believe that even in a society who may call us bigots, we can stand on the word of God and say, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved. And there's a God that wants to heal your blindness today. There's a God that wants to change you. You may have questions, doubts, and ridicule, but have faith and remember what God has done. Y'all want the last message that God's given me in this? What time is it? Joe, do you have your clock up there yet? Joe's gonna get me a clock for our children's worker's sake. I got 4 minutes, let's go. How many of you believe we can do it? Oh, ye of faith, the rest, you of little faith. All right, here we go. Don't have faith in me. Look at verse 27. Let's close right here. I believe this is where God has our church right now. I believe this is where God has me and my family right now. I'm going to call you out right now. Not call you out and you sinner. I'm going to call you out to say, stand on your faith. Even when they doubt the story, even when they doubt everything else, even when they question it and try to get you to doubt your Savior, even when they try to tear down, he wasn't really blind. Stand on your faith. Look at what the man says, verse number 27. They ask him, did he really heal you? I like this. Look, this isn't some calm response. I told you once, didn't you listen? I mean, here it is. Why do you want to hear it again? And I love the sarcasm. Do you want to be his disciples? Well, they did not like that. Look at the next verse. Let's roll it. Okay, I'm losing track. All right, let's roll it. Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Newsflash. They were bound in the law. Moses led. Yes, Moses gave the commandments. Moses gave this. But can I tell you something about Moses? He never made the promised land. Don't be a disciple of tradition because it'll never get you there. It'll make you feel like you're going to get there, but you may spend the rest of your life wondering because you didn't have enough faith to take the next step that'll actually get you there. That's good preaching. At some point of your life, you got to understand that if you go along with the crowd, you're going to wind up where the crowd winds up and the crowd's only heading to destruction. So stop going with the crowd and just go with Jesus. If 10 say we can't conquer, trust the 2 that say God will. God will deliver our enemies into our hands. God will make this happen. We're disciples of Moses. We need followers of Christ today. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man came from. I like his response here. Well, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes. And yet you don't know where he came from? He did a miracle, and you don't know where he came from? Here it is. The whole focus of my message today is verse 31. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those two things, who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has ever been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. You can't fix them. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. He can fix anybody. How many of you are business owners or entrepreneurs in the place? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are managers or bosses at a place? Raise your hand. How many of you are employees at a place? Raise your hand. All right, you're employed somewhere. Any teachers in the place today? All right, okay, awesome. Nurses, doctors, physicians, medical. All right, awesome. Parents, any parents, grandparents in the place today? Okay, can I give you this? And I want you to get it. I want you to grab it. All right, you are called to lead. You're a leader. I'm going to give you five things right now that if you don't possess in your home and in your life, you'll never lead anybody anywhere. It comes from these two things. Gail spoke these two things last week. Focus, that's worship. That's worship. And number two, obedience, action. That's doing the will of God. Get this, God gave him vision. Bible says it this way, without a vision, people perish. Would you say that with me? Without a vision, people perish. If all you do in your life is for yourself, then people are going to hell all around you. And the Bible said their blood will be required of you when you stand before God. It'll be on your hands. Good news, God will wipe away all the tears from your eyes. I guarantee you, every one of us is going to have a breakdown before God. That's why he's going to wipe away the tears. I do believe with the tears goes the memories. Because it won't be heaven if I remember all the lost ones that I came in contact with that weren't there. But we will stand before God seeing the lamb that was sacrificed for us. And we will realize just how little we did with it. And that will be a heartbreaking moment unless we do something with him. And here it is. He stands here. I wrote this down. We're called to worship. We're called to do God's will. A vision is given in our lives and God has given you a vision. How many of you have hopes and dreams for your kids? Say amen. How many of you have hopes and dreams for your business? Say amen. How many of you are in the medical field because you actually want to see people healed? If not, you might not want to be in the medical field, right? How many of you are in ministry or some type of thing because you want to see lives change? Say amen. Come on now. Yeah. You got to have a vision. So here's what God gave me in my life this week. The vision needs to be number one, clear and defined. Clear and defined. Write it down. When God gives it to you, write it down. Because you're going to doubt it. It might take time to get there, and you're going to question it. Somebody else might try to change it. Write it down, date it, put it in a sealed envelope, stick it somewhere. You say, is that godly? No, I'm just saying this. I know me well enough to know that I doubt what God has called me to. Anybody else say me too in that? Anybody else wonder if they're a good parent in here? Anybody else sometimes feel like a terrible husband? I can't feel like a terrible wife, never been one. Anybody else felt like that? Right? Anybody else been given their all and feel like it's not good enough? Write it down. By the way, realize this, that the vision God gives you is the end game. It's not the whole game. All right? A lot of people want what God has told them he's going to do right now. But God's going to raise you up. He's going to do this. Brant would tell you if he was here, the Psalm chapter 37 verse that says, the steps of the godly. He directs the steps. He delights in the details of their lives. Stop trying to think that, hey, I need to get there. I need to get there. I need to get there when you're here. And know that if God's told you you're going to a promised land, that God fully intends to get you there. But there is a journey in the middle. Are you with me? And in the journey, if you're not careful, like the children of Israel, you'll forget the promise and you'll start looking back instead of looking forward. Write it down. Get clear. Hey, you know what God wants to do at Grace Community Church? Rescue addicts. You know what God wants to do? He wants to love the orphans and take care of the widows. You know what God wants to do? He wants to raise a school, a Christian school that has teachers that are more in it about the students than the income because there's not high income in Christian education. Hey, he's got things, there's visions. In July of 2015, we wrote them down. And not all of them have happened. But we know that part of them have. Hey, we need a campus where he can build these buildings. We got 11 and a half acres. We don't have all the buildings, but God's provided the land. Are you with me? And so we see it. It's clear. It's defined. What's not clear is how to get there. Why? Because God wants you to follow his cloud by day and fire by night. Children of Israel reference. So we need to understand where we're going. It's got to be clear. That building's going to be a recovery center at some point. That building out there is going to house, it's going to do, it's going to feed. It's clear. You say, well, how? When? That ain't up to us. How is we're going to be by faith? How is we give up Starbucks? I mean, how is, hey, maybe we don't take a vacation this year because somebody else's life matters more than our own. I mean, I don't know how, but I just know this. We just got to believe that God can do it and step out. All right, we don't like that kind of preaching. It gets very close to talking about your money and, you know, man, that's the one area that God hasn't asked for, right? Matter of fact, it's the one area that God said he'll prove himself to you more than any other area of your life. If you don't believe me, test me. How many of you have tested God with your finances? Raise a hand. How many of you have seen God do something incredible? Amen. Now you're saying, you need our money. I don't care about your money. I got two jobs. I make money. I'm just being honest with you. And I'll be honest with you. I am proud to say today that me and my wife are probably up there around the top givers in the church and very thankful that God's been able to do that. And hopefully we are able to outgive next year what we were able to give this year, and we're going to give God the credit. I'm going to give God the glory. My accountant told me I'm giving way too much to my church. And I really did. I said to him, you don't know my God. He's a good God. And I can't give him enough. Everything he's done for me, I should deserve nothing today. And everything I have is because of him. Every good and perfect gift has come from above today. I'm not rich, but I am blessed today. But I shouldn't be. I still am. Why? He's a good God. He's a good God. I'm so thankful he threw his spit mud in my eyes. Not only do you need to write it down, but you need to declare the need of your why. Why is this vision needed? You might go to your kids and you might say, we're going to start doing devotions, or we're going to start doing this, or we're going to, why? Listen, Mashawn, where are you at, bro? Are you in here? Is he teaching? No, that Mashawn. Come here, man. Hurry. You're athletic. Just don't fall. This is the guy that got saved this morning. This is our why. This is our why. This guy matters. He's a great athlete, but that doesn't matter. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Come on now. At least the best-looking one on the stage. Whoa. He's a good guy. You know what he said to me? I didn't want to come to church this morning. You know why? You know why you didn't want to come to church this morning? Because God knew what he was going to do in your life this morning. And Satan knew that there were some angels working in your life doing something weird. Yeah. That girl said something to you that hurt you, but God was speaking something to you that was bringing you life. He said, I came because this is just where I needed to be. Something to that effect. Am I right? He came. Can I tell you this? The enemy knows when God is saying, Gabriel, go get my boy. Michael, go take care of them. If you don't believe you have guardian angels, you're out of your mind. And your guardian angel is not your grandma or your grandpa. No, you know where your grandma and grandpa are right now? If they're saved, they're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I promise you, they're not thinking about you. And I don't mean that to hurt you, but there's such a good place. And you're going to get there, and they're going to believe you got there right after them. So it's not going to be a place of this. You know, God's not going to send something that was human that had to be made right. God's going to send something that he created that's never been flawed. Something that when they show up with their swords and they show up with their chariots of fire, that if all the enemies and the armies of the world are trying to climb the mountain you're sitting on, that you can sit down and eat at the top of the mountain because the angels of God are more powerful than the human forces that are trying to come against you. I can't say that again. God knew what he wanted to do. Enemy knew. And so the enemy says, don't go. And God says, go anyway, bro. Are you with me? Right. Listen, if you don't have your why, you won't have your try. Your family needs to know, hey, we're going to church. This family's been under attack. Right? A lot going on. We're not going to say what that is. Ever since stepmom and dad decided they were going to teach children's church, man, the war has been on in this home. We told them when they stepped up and God called them a few months ago, he's going to come after. And he has. You know what, though? They keep showing up. They keep teaching. They keep going. You know why? Because what God has called them to is more important in their life than any other things. You're going to doubt it, but you need to know. If you know what God has called you to, you will not fail because you'll keep it in front of you. You got to have a vision. Without a vision, people perish. You know, he said, but today there's a John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Say it with me. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, Michonne, believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. This is an everlasting right here, right now. Why? There's no perish in what God's got. Amen. I love you, brother. Sorry, I know I called you out. Amen. Go ahead and see. Number two, here it is. Not only do you have a clear, defined vision, you got to have a belief that God can do it. I was thinking as I was reading verses 1-3, what it would be like one day to sit and to hear Lincoln give a sermon. And you say, impossible. And I, you know, in my mind, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be real. I'm a human. I think impossible sometimes too. Man, I couldn't imagine what kind of power would come from that moment. Because of that, I got to believe that God can use him. We're a small church in the middle of nowhere. Somebody even said that yesterday. I don't know how you have so many people in the middle of nowhere. I think we're all in the middle of nowhere, but God's trying to lead us somewhere. And I really feel like God wants to do something in your life, and God wants to use your life. And I hope we're never really in our minds a big church. I hope we always stay small. Even with thousands of people, I hope you stay small. I just have a belief. Yeah, you'll see 1,000 people. You say, I don't want to be a part of a big church. Stop it. Stop it. Stop making it about you. You know, you don't want to be a part of a big church. Start a small group. You can still have a small group in a big church. But I'll be honest with you. If we're going to war, I'd love to have some numbers. Wouldn't you? I'd love to know we got people having each other's backs. It'd be nice to have a few more foster parents in our church. It'd be nice to have a few more people that are retired helping our orphans and our widows. It'd be nice. Hey, but I'm going to tell you this right now. We ain't going to see anything done if we don't believe God can do it. I mean, like the guy looking at Jesus saying, can you heal my kid? If you can, will you heal him? Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? He said, if you believe, I will. He said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. You know what? You know what? The healing happened, even though he didn't know how to believe fully. I'm going to tell you this right now. God's not looking for the greatest faith. He's just looking for some. God's just looking for somebody to say, I believe he can move mountains. I can believe he can change my life. I can believe he do. He's looking for somebody to hit an altar that doesn't know how to get off the drugs, but just believes that it's possible. He's looking for somebody to hit an altar holding the hand of a wife that doesn't believe and doesn't know how they can see this marriage revolve, but they just believe that it's possible. I'm going to tell you now, if there's hope in your life, just a little bit of faith, a lot can happen. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe God can radically change you. I believe God can change your situation. I believe God can change your circumstance. I believe God can change your finances. I believe God can do something major in you. No matter who you are, where you are, what you are, God can use you. The only reason I showed up to church today is I believe he wanted to meet with me here, but I also believe he's calling this church to a radical movement. And I believe that through your faith, it can be done and we can see things happen. Matter of fact, you need to be praying. I ain't going to go into detail, but God's working on our builder's heart. Chris showed up so excited on Wednesday about something that I cannot share with you because we don't even know what he's doing. But something's happening. And I believed it was going to take us a while. But what if God's saying, hey, I don't need you. Hey, what if God was just waiting for our church to take a step of faith and say, we can believe he can do it, so we're going to back it out of the bank. What if God was just looking for, God's not looking for you to come up with the answer. God's just looking for you to surrender all. Number three, a determination to see it done. If you're gonna have a vision, you've gotta have a determination to see it done. In other words, it's like this. How many of you have read the Little Blue Train book? I think I can. I think I can. What's the next phrase? I think I can. What's the Little Blue Train do? He does. It's determination. I have a very bad habit in my life, and I'm going to imagine some of us do in the room too. I have a very bad habit of thinking God can do it and sitting on my butt and waiting on him to do it. Come on now. So it's kind of like going to church and coming in and putting your stuff down and having a seat and saying, okay, God, move. God, I really need somebody in my life that'll help me grow spiritually. And here I am, I'm sitting here. And then leaving and posting on Google that nobody talked to you. If you believe that God wants to move in your life, get out of your chair and go meet somebody. Right? I mean, Betty's sitting right there. That's a great woman. Go say hi. Hey, there's some great people sitting right in this section right over here. And that's the section that has the most seats. You can target them easily. Go hug them. Somebody starts crying in the middle of a song while you're rejoicing. Go pray with them. You say, well, I want to be used by God. Get out of your seat. I want my life to be used. Hey, then go volunteer somewhere at something and watch God use it. Well, I'm waiting on God to call me. God's been calling you from the day you were born. If you hadn't heard him call now, it's not because he's not talking. It's just you're not picking up the phone. I was sitting in the living room just yesterday, and my little girl has this little kitchen playset that has a phone on it. And all of a sudden, I hear ring, ring. And then louder, ring, ring. Ring, ring. Oh, hello. And then she started in this whole spiel of, what do you want to eat? I'm about to make some brownies. I got this. I'm going to make cookies. I got cupcakes. You want cupcakes? I can make coffee. You want cream? You want sugar? What do you want? Blah, 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 blah. And, well, I'll take a coffee with cream and sugar. Okay, click. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. I was watching football. Ring, ring. It's for real. I was hoping for Tennessee's sake, for the love of God. Did y'all hear me say that? For Tennessee's sake, I was hoping Michigan was going to lose. And I watched them kick that field goal. TCU was hoping they'd go down so that y'all could win. We're not going to talk about y'all's game, but we're going to talk about everybody else's, right? I was, ring, ring, football. Ring, ring, football. Ring, ring, something that actually matters. Ring, ring. Are you with me? Now, that's my daughter. Hey, listen, it hit me yesterday. One day she's not going to be three. She ain't going to want me anymore. That ring, ring is going to be to some other 15, 16-year-old. In his life, he doesn't realize that it might be the call of death because dad's going to show up. Oh, she's an angel? No, that was the death angel that just called you, right? No, I'm just kidding. All right, here it is. God's ring, ring. Hey, I want to use you, but I got this. I want to use you, and I got this. I talked to a parent this week who pulled their kid out of something because what they were in was taking them year around and it was keeping them from being able to grow as a family. And you know what I call that? Good parenting. You know what I mean? All the money in the world can't replace the time with our families. Gosh, I need that. But you're not gonna get that without a determination. A belief that God can do it, a determination. Number four, almost done. A desire to see lives change through the vision. By the way, if you want God to bless you so that you can have a blessing and you don't have a plan to give that blessing away, that's not a blessing, that's selfishness, right? I want God to move in my life so he can move through my life. That needs to be the motto. If you've got a thing you want accomplished in your life, but it doesn't involve changing other people's lives, that might not be the calling of your life. That might be your desires and wants calling you. Which, by the way, you say, well, it's okay to desire things. Understand this. Yes, it is. But James also teaches us that our sins come from our desires too. God wants to give us the desires of our hearts when our hearts are in tune with his. But our desires of our hearts can mess up our lives too. Some people can desire so much companionship that they step out of God's plan. You can desire so much pleasure that you step out of God's plan. You can desire so much to just forget and to numb that instead of seeking and being determined to go get healed from the hurts of your life, you start numbing yourself with a substance. I mean, we can really mess up. Our desires can either take us towards God or away from God. That's why we need to delight in God so that he can set the desires of our heart. Are you with me today? And then we got a determination, but our determination and desire goes with we want to see other people think. Number five, it needs a foundation built on Jesus. I want God to use my life, so my foundation must be built on Jesus. And then here it is, the end. A trust and a hope that with Christ, we won't fail. Verse 35 and 41. When Jesus heard what had happened, by the way, that man got kicked out of church in verse number 34. His testimony got him thrown out. And Jesus heard what had happened. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." Verse 37 was really real in my life. It was almost another sermon. "You have seen him." To me and you, that definitely doesn't mean as much as to the man who has never seen anything before. It's not, you got to believe in him. You've seen him. What you've never been able to do, you can now do. What you've never been able to accomplish has now been done. You've seen him. I think the results of having a vision in our life is we get to see God work. We get to see what he can do in other people's lives. And we need a church that has a vision. So maybe you write this as a prayer in closing. Give me vision. God, give me vision. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Anybody in the place today? Anybody here? Maybe you've got the weakness. Maybe beggar is the label in its own form that they've put on your life. I don't know where you're at today, but is there anybody here or watching online that would just say, "Okay, God, just spit. Just spit. Just speak into my life. Just let your word come in. God, I want my focus, my worship to be on you." Followed by, "I'll do your will. I'll obey. I'll go. I'll believe. I'll set a standard in my life and I won't let anybody take it. I'll set a goal and a vision that you've given me and I won't let anybody make me doubt. I'm going to stand on what I believe in today. I'll stand for my marriage. I'll stand for restoration of my home. I'll stand for my children. I'll stand for a church. I'll stand that you're going to rescue sinners through my life. I stand that through my testimony, people are going to be saved. I will stand here and believe that through the work you've done in my life, others will see you too." Is there anybody here today? Join me and say, "God, that's me. Use me. That's where I want to be." Would you slip a hand to heaven? Use me. That's where I want to be. Stand with me, everybody, grab a hand. We're gonna close in a word of prayer. Never fails. Four minutes turned into 30. I hope you know our desire, church, is for you to know God on a deep, meaningful level. Garrett, you walked with me today. We ain't playing here, are we? Some of these things are very real. Howard, we were on the phone last night. Some of these circumstances are beyond us. I looked at a little girl today and I said to her, as she made a statement, "My real dad disappeared." And we said to her, "But we will love you. We will be here. We'll protect you. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people disappear in my life. Sometimes, while we call it they left, maybe they just got out of the way so you could see God clearly in your life too. Because maybe they were the God instead of him being God. We need laborers today. And I don't care how new or old you are to this church. We need people that care about people that are willing to show up. Because there's wars that are fighting in people's lives. There's victory in Jesus. Give me vision. If you're dating here today, you're young, I know you're here, get a vision of what your relationship can do for God. And let God grow that into a marriage if that's his will. But don't wait till you're married to start serving God together. If you're single today, get a vision of what God can do through your singleness. Paul was single, right? And then ask God to prepare somebody else's heart so that when y'all come together, you don't have to give up your service, that y'all can serve on, right? God, here's my gifts, here's my talents, here's my abilities, use them. So we want to see people's lives changed like our life have been. Let's pray. God, thank you for the day and thank you for this moment. Thank you for your love. God, we still pray over the one that left in need. We believe you're going to do a work in their life. God, tonight we have a rare opportunity of hundreds of people coming. Some from right here in our church and some from in our community that won't know anybody tonight. I pray that this is a night filled with love and laughter, that people find friendship and find hope. Let this be a week that resonates into each life, a reflection, on a focus of worship on the goodness of you and the things that you've accomplished, the things that you've given us, the things that you have taken from our lives and the places you've brought us out of. God, may there be a celebration go through hearts this week as we celebrate our thankfulness towards you. I pray that this will be a church of vision, caring for people in a deep, meaningful way as we care for them to your throne so that they can find your love that is satisfying and fulfilling. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.